The vicar's report, the equivalent of the Queen's speech in Parliament. I don't look that decorative. Actually, it's a bit more like this, I think, really, which is the Queen's Christmas Day speech, because it's the opportunity for the vicar to say what we've done and where we might be going to and where we come from, and also to share a few personal thoughts and give some personal thank yous. And, you know, in a Church of England church, the vicar is important. But in God's church, everyone is important. And that's because you can see that from our headline verse this year. Here we are. But you are a chosen people, you, okay, and me too, are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So it might be tempting to think of All Saints as a bit like this. A pyramid. Can you just see that? There's a pyramid, and there's the vicar at the top, at bottom, trying to hold everything up. Okay? Supporting and doing everything. Or the other one, there he is, looking smug at the top. Okay? Lording over everyone from a lofty position. Well, I hope you think I'm not that kind of person, because the first thing I wanted to do and have finally done is get rid of the pulpit. Because I don't really want to speak above everybody else, you know. But the point about the verse of the year is that we're all priests, which means we all have a part to play. Okay, some of us are in specific leadership positions, but churches without effective leadership are not actually effective churches. We're all different, you know, but every single person's a key. We're all different, you know, it's all different keys, but we're all keys to making this church be what God wants it to be. So, let's have a quick review of our church. And usually at this time, I look at our five key aims of the church. Great, that we grow larger, younger, deeper, wider, stronger. So how are we getting on? Well, how about larger? Good measure of how we're doing as a church. So how do we measure the size of our church? We don't have a membership list like a Baptist church. And even then, the membership role is not necessarily a very good indication of necessarily how many people are coming. So we could look at the numbers of people in services. We could have a look at share in prayer. Let's look at service numbers first. Okay, so that was 2012. The total number, and I'm slightly obsessive about making notes of these things, the total number attending over 2012 was 8,004. That's every service, yeah. Every service, yeah. That's where we're so full. Okay. And 2013, 8,733. So we've gone up by 9.1%. Now, of course, we do different services here on a Sunday. So what I try and do is I try and make a note of how many different people come through the church on a Sunday morning. And you think, how can you possibly do that? And you can do that because I'm at all the services. So all I have to do is work out how many people, different people are from 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock, and it's usually just me. And then I work out how many people are 9 o'clock and 10:30, and it's not usually a number, but I can write their names down briefly. And then I add those all up and deduct them. And over the course of the year, we have on average 135 to 140 different people every Sunday walking through this church. And I've been looking at the stats since 2006. I've got notes, a spreadsheet of those, which I've put together. And I don't think we've ever been that high, even allowing for some duplication at 8 and 10:30 previously. It's never been regularly at 135, 140. So I think we are growing a bit in service numbers. We're certainly reaching more people. What about share in prayer? As usual, Mike's done an amazing job in putting that together. And your copy is at the back in an envelope, so don't leave without it, okay? Just to, let's just go through it line by line. In fact, the total number in share and prayer has gone down by one, okay? From 266 to 265, and I'll explain that in a minute. Households have gone up by two. I think the numbers attending church has gone down slightly by nine, so the fringe has gone up. But the thing is, you have to say to yourself, well, okay, How do we make that up? And the answer is that people move away. So, if you look at the, okay, joiners and leavers, we lost 18 from share and prayer. But of those, 8 were non-attenders, 2 deaths, 7 moved from Swanage, people like Celia Corden. 1 marriage breakdown, unfortunately. 4 moved to other churches, but they're still in sharing prayer, actually. We gained 21. 16 regulars, 2 new babies, and 3 non-attenders who are kind of associated. Okay, so I think we're kind of, the raw numbers are more or less static. We've kind of got more people, I think, now attending than were. But actually, if I add it all up, it's maybe there's a slight reduction. It's quite hard to tell, obviously. I try and analyse each person, really. I think we're more or less static, which is a place we don't want to be, really. We want to keep looking outwards and drawing people to Christ. So it's not been a train smash year, but it's not been fantastic. Okay, that's where evangelism reaching out is really important, because I think we all want our church to grow, but not just by new Christians coming in, which is great, by new unchurched people. And I should say, of the new people in share and prayer, I think about 10 of them are unchurched or previously not attending church in any kind of regular way, which is good, really good. 10 unchurched people. Look at that a little more in a moment when we look at evangelism. How about the younger thing? Well, you remember our stated aim was to become younger. Average age of Swanage was 48. 2011, our average age was 60. 2012, it should have been 61. It was 58. 2013, we did really well. We came down to 51.7. Unfortunately, we've gone up this year. Okay, we've only gone up to 53.1, so we've gone up just over a year. Well, you have all got a year older, actually. But it would have been nicer. It would have been nicer to come down to nearer 48. Again, it's not a train smash, really. We're kind of holding our own. I wish you were all getting, you know, exponentially younger, but we're not, obviously. But let's be seeking to meet everyone and bring everyone to Christ, older people and younger people too. Okay. We need to be praying for growth this year in all respects. Deeper, wider, stronger. Those are the 3 key things. Stronger in our relationship with each other, deeper in our relationship with God, wider in spreading God's love wider. I thought I'd look at each of the teams and show how we developed in the last year. First of all, the pastoral team. Thank you so much, pastoral team. You are amazing. Amazing, really. Led by Ted and Andrea and Carol. Fantastic group of volunteers. They're not only caring, but they're really professional. Really professional. We've had training on bereavement, caring for the dying, those with mental problems, those with depression, healing. I think, as far as I know, we've got the only bereavement care group in any church in Swanage. I may be wrong about that, but I think that's the case. We also got a much wider group of pastoral contacts, which keep in contact with everyone, because we can't keep in contact with absolutely everyone. Take one example. I mean, I know, I won't embarrass them now, but I know there's somebody here who calls in every day to see a lady who's kind of more or less housebound. Every day. Which is fantastic, isn't it? That's Christian love in action, you know? And that makes our church stronger and spreads the love of Jesus wider. So thank you. It's fantastic. The pastoral team are amazing, really. Youth and children. Our aim is to make our church younger, not by, you know, killing off older people, but to draw younger people to us. let me just tell you about a little bit wider than just All Saints, first of all. And that is, Matt has joined us this year, Matt and Vera. And Matt, I should say, is doing an amazing job, actually. We held a strategy day in February, not just for the Anglican team, but for all of the churches in Swanage. We had representatives of 7 different churches, and we began to put together an ecumenical youth work strategy. We've now got the Roman Catholics on board as well, which is fantastic, and we're busy putting together a youth work strategy for the whole of Swanage, for all of the churches, which is absolutely brilliant. And we're a little bit further down the track, but it's happening also. We're moving together towards an ecumenical children and families work strategy as well, which is really great. But also, just here in All Saints, there's been some fantastic stuff happening, actually, here in All Saints, led by Pauline, who's our youth and children's work leader. but also and a team of fantastic helpers. Because it's not been an easy year. I'll talk about Breakfast of the Nine in a minute, but one area that's been kind of adversely affected by Breakfast at Nine has been Warriors, children's work in the 10:30 service. And a lot of young people and children have been going to Breakfast at Nine, which has meant that we've had a lack of critical mass, if you like, of children and young people here on a Sunday morning. And we've been thinking about what to do about this since before Christmas, and we've decided to try a new way of doing this, and we're probably going to have a young people's table at Breakfast at Nine. Maybe we might make use of the porter cabin when it's set up. But also we're going to have a craft table at the back, and the same people will help at Breakfast at Nine and here for any children who come at 10:30. But they have been amazing because they've been preparing, they've been working with young people. Sometimes only one or two have turned up, none have turned up, and they've been faithfully preparing all year, and it's just been awesome, really. It's just been real Christian love and devotion. So I really thank you so much, Pauline, and all your helpers. It's been absolutely fantastic. It should say youth team. I'm sorry. Yeah, you're quite right. It should say youth team. That's a good point. Apologies. Just need also to mention toddlers, actually. A young mum said to me a few months ago, All Saints Toddlers Group is the best toddlers group. And it's the best toddlers group, not because the equipment is the best or the buildings are the best or anything like that, but because the helpers are the best in town. Isn't that great? Really fantastic. And that's been Jess, Sheila, Monica, Lucy, Judith, Francis. Have I missed anyone out? Oh, but Giselle, and also Lorraine. Have you just joined as well? And who? And Pauline, fantastic. Anyway, all of you, amazing. One person I especially need to mention is Francis, who's been leading the toddler group for a long time. Is that right? And she's going to carry on helping, but she's going to stop leading it a little bit later this year. But we wanted to mark this and say thank you very much, Francis. So, Francis, come up, and could you give her a big round of applause, please? Fantastic. That's a card, but there's also something exciting inside the card, I should say. Great. Right, let's see if I get this right. Breakfast at Nine, there we are. Right, well, that kind of fulfills, Breakfast at Nine fulfills all five of our key objectives. Larger, well, last Sunday we had 68 people in Breakfast at Nine. 68, I don't know how they fitted them all in. It was extraordinary. Younger, well, it speaks for itself. The average age of the church is 53. The average age of Breakfast at Nine is 32. Younger than the average for Swanage as a whole, which is 48. We're making stronger relationships with each other, trying to draw and are drawing people deeper to God. We're spreading Jesus' love wider. It's been a real success story. One of the challenges is to draw those people who are coming to Breakfast at Nine deeper still into the things of God. Now, a lot of people think what you do with Breakfast at Nine is you get them into Breakfast at Nine and then you work out how you're going to add them to the main morning service. All right? Can I say that isn't going to work? Judging by the way that Canford, which is my old church, has started Breakfast at Nine, what happens at Canford is people who start at Breakfast at Nine, for them church is Breakfast at Nine. That it just is, okay? Until their children grow too old for it, that's what church is for them. But we all need to grow deeper in our faith. So we're looking at maybe doing Breakfast at Nine Alpha, Breakfast at Nine Home Group, something like that. So we're thinking about different ways in which we can do that. I've talked to Nick Webb about doing a Breakfast Nine Alpha together. But Breakfast Nine wouldn't function without just masses of people who make it happen every Sunday morning. It's a massive logistical exercise, and people are just absolutely brilliant. And it's just wonderful. I mean, I just go along there, I speak occasionally, I have fantastic breakfast every Sunday. It's a bargain, really. But if you've never been to Breakfast at Nine, well, just come along and see one day. 9 o'clock, it just lasts an hour. It's really, really great. Communications. Communications team. That's a message in a bottle, by the way, if you can't see it. There we are. Fortunately, we have far more effective ways of communicating with people than that. This is actually a small team, but it's incredibly important. Okay, Mike Hayes heads it up. Jess Haynes and Karen Postlethwaite. And also we're using the website produced by Andy Mutter. I should say every week in the summer, I mean, without exception, I have somebody who I speak to at the end of church, and I say, sort of, what are you doing here? And they say, well, we looked at you, we saw you in the website, we looked up your website. Sometimes people just put in the word Swanigan Alpha. I mean, I've had people do that. Every single week is quite extraordinary, really. And we've got a fantastic website. And the reason, one of the reasons why it's fantastic is it's kept up to date. Because I don't know how many websites you've seen, church websites you've seen, which are not kept up to date, but they're embarrassing. No sooner are the words out of my lips than Mike has put them on the website. It is extraordinary, which is really fantastic. Because what happens is, sometimes if we're looking at the sermon again on a Sunday, during the home groups on the following week, you can listen to the sermon again, and which I know some groups do. So it's really, really brilliant. And also, Mike has done a fantastic job along with Ian Cheeseborough and Paul Friedman in the sound in this church, making sure the sound is right. We've got some new microphones coming in a couple of weeks, which Mike has helped put together for us. And also, Jess has been fantastic, particularly with social media, advertising through Facebook and so on. And also lots of the posters and the graphics we have, which she does. And then Karen is really great on internal communications because, you know, in particular things like the service rotors and things, which is a massive job. If I had to do it, it would just take me days and days and days, and it's really, really brilliant. So absolutely great. Jess Haynes probably won't be here after the summer, which is a shame, but she probably won't be. She'll be going on to Pastures New. So we need somebody who knows about social media to take this on in a big way. If you're good at social media, you know how Facebook works and things. I don't know how Facebook works. Fortunately, my wife does, so I can keep an eye on what my children are up to. But if you know how Facebook works and you're happy to do that, it would be really great. Is that good? That would be lovely. Good. Buildings team. Here's Bob the Builder. The church is not a building, but we've got one, haven't we? And if we don't look after it, not only is it bad stewardship, but it's also positively off-putting to people. It's really off-putting. And people love this building, but 3 years ago, when I got here, it was pretty shabby, to be honest. And there's been a huge transformation, and we've got a fantastic team led by three great people. First of all, painting. And kind of shelves and decoration, all that kind of stuff. Peter Cousins, who's hiding behind the sound desk there, but he's hiding even further, but is really brilliant. And, I mean, when I was away, he sorted and organised the painting of this church for the first time in 50 years, which is really great. Structure and electrics, it's Jeff, and Jeff Hall, who knows all about this building far better than any architect. And so, again, when we want to do anything, Jeff can say, oh, yes, well, there's this and that, and there's that sort of rafter, and there's that strut, and there's this, you know, I mean, I don't know how it works, but he knows exactly how this building works, and which is really, really great. And everything else, really, is Brian Pavitt. It's really fantastic, really. And so, you know, there's so much that goes on in this building that Brian does. It's just extraordinary, which you'd never know. You would never know, but I know about them because I know I don't have to do them. It's just amazing. So, guys, you are amazing, and your team of volunteers is fantastic. Coming year, well, we're hoping next week the porta cabin's going to be installed. We're hoping. It's been a bit. We've had problems because of the weather, and we have not been able to get the digger on, and the digger man's been away, and all the rest of it. But anyway, we're hoping that he will be here next week. We're going to be putting crosses on the doors. The pillars, hopefully, we'll be painting hopefully the week after Easter. They're going to need two coats, and Roy the decorator advised his advice. This is Roy the decorator. He said, I think you should paint them white. So, okay, right, well. So what we're going to do is, because they need two coats, we're going to paint them white and see if we like them, the bottom coat. If we like them, we'll paint the top coat white, and if we don't, we'll paint them the same colour as the ceiling. That's what we're going to do. Okay. Now, just look at your feet, everybody. Look at your feet. Aren't they lovely, these asbestos tiles? They've been here since 1956. They're okay. Although they're asbestos, they're okay, provided they're not breaking up. So we were going to have a sleepover here a few months ago, and I said, but hang on, those asbestos tiles are breaking up. So I think, was it maybe Jeff or somebody said, you better put a carpet over that bit. So we can't really leave it like that. And we also have a sound problem, because some people find the echo really problematic. So the committee deputed Lorna and me to look at some suitable carpeting. So I went to my old church, the Lantern Church. They recently had a complete makeover. If you think the money we spent on this church is a lot, they spent over £300,000. Okay? And the thing about carpet, if we're going to do carpet, they've had carpet tiles. Mustn't be too light or it'll show every mark. But carpet tiles are a good thing, because if they get really dirty, then you can clean them up and you can change them. The problem, by the way, is coffee spillages for carpet, actually. We don't have that many coffee spillages. When we do, we need to clean them up. Anyway, I've got some samples. Blue and kind of brownie colour, really. I think Lorna and I like that one better, but that's a kind of alternative. Now, you might say to yourself, well, it's all very well Andrew standing there with a square of carpet in his hands. I want to know what it'll look like if the church is fully carpeted. So I have a little play around and took some photographs. You probably can't see this very well, but I can show you better. That's you can't really see very well, but I can forward you copies of these. That's with blue. And you can hardly, scarcely show any different. That's with the grey. That's blue. And it's grey. Okay. Good. The cost is £4,386, including VAT, to cover that area there. This area of flooring is really quite nice. It's Purbeck stone. It's a shame to cover it, I think. And I think what we've done at the front, as you noticed, we've taken the old, grotty old carpet away, but we've the last week or so, we've rearranged the kneelers. So the kneelers, it's really quite nice. They're lovely kneelers, actually. So we put some along there, which I think is quite a nice thing to do, really. So we'll probably leave those there. But it's basically this area here covered by these awful tiles. So £4,300 is not a king's ransom for this size of carpet, really. They should look good for at least 10 years. But we've got to do something. So would you let me know what you think about the colours? I'll kind of leave them there for a couple of weeks. Let me know. Is that all right? Yeah, they're stuck down with a light adhesive. So yeah, the intention is they are to be replaced. So we'll have some spares. But the other thing that really kills them is coffee. But coffee's okay, provided you clean it up immediately. The Lantern have got a bit of a problem, because they tend to kick cups of coffee over, believe it or not. My last church, they have coffee before the service, then they put coffee at their feet, and then they have a kind of fairly active service, and they kick the cups of coffee over. So I don't think we have quite that kind of problem, do we really? You know, I mean, we tend to hold cups of coffee in our hands, which is, I know, the usual way. And so I don't think that should be a big problem, but we will, as long as we clear the coffee up, when we knock it over, you know, that morning, we'll be okay. If we leave it to sit there all week, then it'll stain. That's the point, I think.
My only question with the tile is that if we replace them, we can almost do with a new tile, left somewhere, so they can think whether you leave the same as the one down, so when we replace it, it does look like something
brand new. Yeah, that might be a nice idea. I really don't know how you do that. No. I know, there is that. But hopefully, I don't think there should be. Probably the answer is to move them, take some tiles from the back and put them to the front and then put them in a less prominent position. That might be another way of doing it, perhaps. Yeah. That's a good question. I would have thought you should be able to. I would have. that might cost some more, that might cost some more. But I mean, we Scotch guarded things before, so yeah, I don't see why not. Yeah. 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 Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yeah. Well, I think the intention really is that we don't keep doing this. The replacement tiles is the kind of nuclear option if we have a real big problem. Do you know what I mean? On the whole, provided if we have a spillage of coffee, we clear it up on Sunday morning, it'll be all right. If we just leave it and ignore it, then we won't. Yeah, they do. They do. Yeah. Yes, they do. Yeah. Yes, they do.
That's all.
Yes, 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 yeah. Yes. I mean, I think the ideal solution... Sorry? Yeah, this is commercial quality. This is designed to be walked on. It's the kind of thing that you might have in an office or a hall. Well, for a hall like this, that's. But I think the intention of having slightly darker colour is so that it's again it's less obvious if we do make a mark or a spillage. But great. Do we have the money? Actually, we do have the reserves to do it. But I don't think actually the amount of money here is massive for us to be able to raise or to. By way of gifts either. We'll work out. First thing we need to do is decide what we want to do, and then we'll work out how to pay for it. But it's not. We're not talking about mega bucks here. For this size of carpet, it's not a vast sum. Okay, let's talk about worship. You know, this is the most important thing we do as Christians, and it brings us deeper, doesn't it? Deeper in our relationship with God. And we have... wonderful group of people who lead us in our worship. First of all, I can't let the moment go past without mentioning Annie and Graham Douglas, who left our church a couple of months ago to go off to Weymouth. Graham, who helped with our worship for many years, Annie in preaching and in leadership and leading services. We're still seeing from time to time, and they're going to be involved in Connect as well. So we're good. Lots of their friends of lots of us, aren't they? But many thanks to Annie and Graham for what they did over a long period. And we've been trying out some new preachers. Had one this morning. Well, he's not really a new preacher, but he's a new preacher to us. And Tim a couple of weeks ago, which is great. So what do we preach about? Well, lots of Anglican churches follow something called the lectionary, which is the set readings. We don't do that in this church. I'll come and see me if you really want an in-depth reason as to why we don't do the lectionary. But the particular reason is because we need more flexibility as a church, I think, than the lectionary allows. What's right for one church can't be right for every church in the Church of England. That doesn't seem to make sense, really. But this is what we believe about the Bible. The Bible, the inspired and authoritative Word of God, contain the truths which underpin the way we aim to live our lives. That's in our core beliefs. So that's why we base our preaching on the Bible. You might be surprised that not all churches do that. Not all churches believe that about the Bible, but we do. So since last year, we've had a series on the Bible, its inspiration, its authority, its reliability, and also we're now looking at different types of biblical writing. We've had a look at the Gospel of Luke. We've had a look at Romans, the first part of Romans. We've looked at our identity in Christ. I hope you find the preaching in this church helpful. If you'd like us to tackle anything, any particular topic or topics, please do come and have a word with me and say, look, Andrew, I find this really difficult. Could we do a series on that? Could we do a one-off? We can do that. I try and put together a sermon series. Now, there's a problem with sermon series. Do you know what the problem is? You've got to be here for the series. You know, this is our biggest challenge as a church. I'll come to that in a moment. But, you know, you need to be here as for the series, really, because there is a flow. Now, you can always catch up on the website, and I know that people do. As I say, Mike makes sure that it's always bang up to date. But, you know, I'm unapologetic about our being a biblical church. That doesn't mean to say we're all blinkered fundamentalists. But if we depart from the Bible, and we'll just end up following the ways of the world. And Jesus and Paul says, we need to be different, you know? So that also means that we just don't do 10-minute thoughts for the week. We just don't do that in this church. I don't preach that kind of sermon. The reason I don't do it is because the Bible's really important. Really, really important. So we need to delve into it. We need to burrow our way in. See, you might be encouraged to hear that if you went to other churches around here, for example, Emmanuel, I preached in Emmanuel a couple of weeks ago, and they said, oh, your sermon was so much nicer and shorter than we usually have. So, it was about half an hour. So, there we go. Now, worship is more, of course. It's praying and reading and welcoming. Thank you for those who pray and read and welcome. Also, music. Music, there we are. Thank you so much, our organists, David and Sheila, great organists. And thank you to our band members. We've had a bit of a change to our band worship this year. Last October, we had a great group of singers and musicians. And when Matt came along, he's a very experienced worship leader, we took the decision to just reduce the size of the bands, not the numbers of people involved, but reduce the size of the bands, which made it easier for the smaller group to sing together. And that, I think, has really worked. And the songs, on the whole, are played a bit more coherently, and also has enabled us to make some space in our services. But thank you, musicians, for all that you do. It's really wonderful. External mission. Mission action team. That's a bit of a wider thing, isn't it? Looking wider. We're a really mission-minded church, which is amazing. Alan leads the mission action team. We've got regular mission of the month. We try and have a mission speaker four times a year. All that's in the report. Just coming up this year, we're planning, if we can, to link our church to Vera's father, Todor, in Bulgaria, which would be really great to do. And there might be opportunity for some of us to go out there, so maybe some of our young people to go out there and work with them. One key part of what we do is the mission tithe. Tithing our giving to mission is absolutely vital. And this is the faithfulness of God in providing for our needs, I think, is clearly linked to the faithfulness, to our faithfulness in tithing our income to mission. This is probably a good moment to touch on finance. Generally, the Lord has been wonderful in the last year in providing for us, and All Saints people have been wonderful also. Last year was a real challenge, but we managed it. This year, it's more challenging still. Our giving target is 89,815. That's what we need to find as a church. That includes the mission tithe. The year to date actually should be 22,453. Just a little bit shy of that, really. We've given 20,934 to the end of March. So you can see I kind of obsessionally asked for this information from Ian every month. We're about £1,500 behind. If we carry on like that, we'll have a deficit of £600 over the year. Very encouraging. £6,000 every year. Very encouragingly, a person came up to me and this morning and said, oh, I'm just about to fill in a standing order, which I thought, that's great, really good. What we need to make sure is that we don't get left behind. A small deficit, if you like, can soon become a big kind of black hole. So we don't really want to do that. So if God is blessing you, please bring the full tithes into the storehouse. What can I say? That'd be great. Hospitality, oh, it's cakes. Good at cakes, aren't we? We're really good at cakes. Well, this is definitely stronger, larger, wider. Wider? Spreading the love of Jesus wider as well as getting wider. Okay? Last year, Sheila has been head of our, leading our hospitality team. And it's honestly, it's just too big a job for one person. She has done amazingly. I mean, truly, truly amazingly. And so what we're going to do now is we're going to divide this up a little bit. So the kitchen, I mean, we've got a lovely kitchen, but it kind of needs looking after. Marion Clark is going to look after that. Shared lunches, Pauline is going to look after that. Coffee, Sheila is going to look after. Welcome, Bob and Carol, Brian and Carol rather look after. And the events, well, the events committee will look after. And then coffee pot, this coffee pot team, that's Anne and Sheila and Donalda, which is really great. But Sheila, you've done amazingly. What can I say? I mean, just amazingly. Thank you. And we have a small token of appreciation for you too, so up you come. Come on, Sheila, up you come. Big round of applause, please. Just also need to mention, kind of in connection with hospitality, I suppose, really, but the church weekend away, which was actually fantastic, really fantastic. 75 of us there, which is remarkable for a church of this size, really. And a number of people said to me afterwards, I really feel part of All Saints now as a result of that. And thanks so much to Mike and Roger, who really organised it all. It was really brilliant, really. And also to Rob and Anna, who spoke, and Paul and Angie, who played for us. And we're going to do it again next year, but we're going to have a church weekend away at home. Because next year is our 100th birthday. Have you realised that? In 1915, All Saints was built. The building was erected in Washpond Lane, then it went to Cliff Avenue, and then in 1956 this building was built. So it's 100th birthday, so we need to do something special. So I haven't actually got around to asking him yet, but I'm going to ask him. I'm going to ask Bishop Graham to come for the weekend. And I think he will come. And when we can kind of fit in with his busy timetable. And I hope he's going to come for the weekend and spend the weekend with us, which would be great, wouldn't it? So we'll have a kind of weekend away at home, but I'll tell you all about that when we've got dates and things. Okay. Whoops. I was going to talk about evangelism first, but I haven't got a slide for that. Evangelism is always a challenge, isn't it? See, what do we believe about the gospel? Is it a nice way to live your life? Is that what it is? Just kind of nice? Or is it the most crucial decision anyone could ever make, which our whole eternal destiny rests upon? And in order for us to reach the world outside, we've got to go outside. It's no good expecting any longer in 2014 for people to walk through the door, because they won't. Like, to quote Bill Hybels, we've got to walk across the room, or walk across the room and out the door. Okay, and so we're doing, intentionally this year, we're doing some outreach events. The first one was yesterday, which was Community Cafe and Car Wash, which was really great for those of you who weren't here. I must say, I pay tribute to Lindy and all the team leaders who, and all the team members who did brilliantly. People were washing cars from 9:30 to 12:30 till we took the signs down. And there were lots of people in the having cakes and things, both inside and outside, and coffee and things. And I had lots of fantastic conversations with people who I would never otherwise have any contact with. It was really brilliant. People kept coming up to me and saying, who do I pay? And I said, you don't pay anybody. I said, yeah, but we want to make a contribution. I said, that's fine. You know, I said, give some money to your favorite charity. And I said, but we want to give you money. And throughout the course of the morning, about £45 was paid, because we just couldn't, you know, we kept saying, no, no, no. And they just didn't believe that it was free, but it was. So really great, really great. I've just been reading a book about the way the church has spread in the past. The way the church spreads is through contagious relationships, where we get to know people who otherwise, would never know Jesus. All right? We just started, just walked across the room a couple of sessions ago. Now, let me just be frank with you and say, I've been really disappointed about that. It's a really good course. Started quite well. But last week, despite the fact I was doing it three times, only 35 people came. And that makes me think that either you're all doing fantastically well as individuals in bringing your friends to Christ and don't need any help, or you aren't and don't care. Okay? I've got to be frank. It is no good our calling ourselves an evangelical church not being evangelistic. If we believe in the Bible, we believe in hell. Because Jesus believed in hell. And there are lots of people out there heading for a lost eternity. And if you're not very good at it, and I'm not, I need some help. And we're providing some help. And if just not that many people are that bothered, I have to say I'm really disappointed. Anyway, there's plenty of opportunity for the rest of the year to do something about this. Okay, on June the 8th, we've got a community fun day. We need everybody in this room to help. Everybody. That means everybody with a capital E, all right? So come along. Mark that date in your diary and say, I can't go away that weekend because we've got the fun day. That's really important, okay? We've also got some open-air worship on the first Sunday in, oh, sorry, the Carnival week. Possibly in August, we've got open-air carols. We've got a harvest supper with a speaker if possible. We're going to do some door-to-door visiting. We've got the stable nativity. We've got lots of stuff going on. There's opportunity. Sorry? We've got the fete. After the fete, we've got songs of praise. We're going to have a church stall at the fete. There's loads of opportunities to reach the unchurched. Please take them and please be part of them. You don't need to do scary stuff. If knocking on your doors is not your thing, just don't do it. Do you remember what Bill Hybels said? Be authentic. Be yourself. But do something. Let's be intentional. Everyone can wash cars, or everyone can pour coffee, everyone can look after children, everyone can sit and talk to people. It's not difficult. And finally, prayer and prophetic. This has been a great area of growth. I've left it to last because it's the most important. We can do loads of stuff. I'm a doer. I like doing loads of stuff. If it's not earthed in prayer, it's a big waste of time. Complete waste of time, really. The amount of time and the amount of focus on prayer in the last year has significantly increased in this church, which is brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. We pray every day at 8:15, Monday to Friday. We pray on Saturday mornings from 9 to 10. We've got the prayer and prophetic group, which has been led by Anne and Pauline. I'm very much part of that group as well. Because the vicar needs to pray and be prayed for. We pray once every month or 6 weeks, but also the prayer and prophetic group meets here at 12 o'clock on Thursdays for an hour to pray. What we are doing, thank God, is being earthed in prayer. But please be part of that. Please be praying. Please be praying. We want our church to grow. Let's be praying for growth. We want to see people healed. Let's be praying for healing. Okay? Let's get praying, folks. There's plenty of opportunities. Come along every morning. We do a Maud and I, usually Maud and I and Rona, maybe two or three of us there. Sometimes Jane comes, one or two other people come as well. But, you know, lots of room in the quiet room. Come and pray with us. It's a really great start to the day, you know. Really great. Better than sitting in bed listening to the radio, you know. Get up, come along. Okay. Do you know what the biggest challenge is for us as a church? Consistency. People in this church have the big advantage that most of you don't have a full-time paid job. But whether we've got a full-time paid job or not, we've all got a full-time calling to bring in the kingdom of God where we are. This is where we are, folks. This is where God has called us to be. Swanage as opposed to Daventry or Berlin or Birmingham or somewhere, okay? This is where we are. Church attendance across all denominations and all varieties of church has become much more inconsistent over the last 20 years or so. I don't know about you, when I were bringing up our children, we weren't away on Sunday morning, we were in church. We were in church. If we aren't here, if we're doing a sermon series, you can't keep up. If we're doing a study series, like Just Walk Across the Room, you can't maintain continuity. I know our families are really important. I've got one of those. Hobbies are great. I've got hobbies. We've all got hobbies. And I know that all of you are amazing people who are sold out for Jesus and give sacrificially. Okay? But sometimes, when I talk to some people, I feel that for them, getting involved in God's stuff actually comes quite well down the list of priorities. And Jesus committed everything he had for us. And we need to commit everything we have for him. So I think the big task for this church in the next 12 months and ongoing is for us all to be more consistent. Okay? But this is a wonderful church to be vicar of. It's a wonderful privilege to be your vicar and to be a member of this church and to have your love and prayers and support and care. And when we get to heaven, I think there'll be some really well-known people given prominent places, but also there'll be some well-known people who'll turn out to have built very little, actually. And you think, that's surprising. Why hasn't that person got a more prominent responsibility, you know? But I also think there are going to be thousands and millions of people who don't make a fuss, but who've been quietly faithful, who seek God and obey him faithfully year after year, who've done far more for God's kingdom, all the popes and bishops and even vicars who are much more well known, because it's in the secret place that it really counts. And I know this church is full of people like that. And it's a privilege to serve you as your vicar. Thank you.
Just before I do the usual thing a church warden has to do, you talked about people that do a lot of things behind the scenes that they don't know about. There's one person in this congregation that does an awful lot, Pauline. Booking our church hall week in, week out. It just happens. But it doesn't just happen, because it's all coordinated and put together by Pauline. And we all owe Pauline a great big vote of thanks for all she does. All hours of the day, people are on the phone. Pauline, thank you so much. Thank from you. Us all. Yeah. And I know Ian would agree with us, there's quite a financial income at the end of it, which goes towards our PCC funds. Anyway, folks, it's my privilege as a church. Anne's waving her hands at me. Hello, darling.
And he's also amazingly patient when the vicar messes up the heating system and he has to fix it again. So.
Anyway, folks, as church warden, it's my privilege, not only on behalf of Paul and myself, but on every member of the congregation, to thank you, Andrew. You had a calling to be our leader, and you've heard for the last 3/4 of an hour the sort of leader he is. He's so enthusiastic, loving, learning, serving together. You epitomise that, Andrew. Thank you for holding that vision you have for our church right ahead of you and reminding us all the time of that vision we have for All Saints. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Let's just pray, shall we? Lord, thank you for your many blessings to us, and thank you for the incredible blessing of being part of this wonderful church. And Lord, I pray that you guide and lead and direct us in the next year. Lord, we want to bring your kingdom in wherever we are, whoever we're speaking to. So please guide and lead and direct us, we pray. And Lord, we pray that after the next 12 months, when we meet again for this, we may see amazing exploits which your people have done, and people who've come to know you for the very first time, and extraordinary growth of your kingdom that we've been a privilege to be part of. So we commit this next year into your hands now. Amen. Amen. Great. Well, enjoy the sunshine. Thank you.